The search for the remains of Queensland teenager Daniel Morcombe continues this morning. Police say the search in swampy bushland near Biewa could take weeks, if not months. Yesterday, the Queensland coroner ruled 41-year-old Brett Peter Cowan, the man charged with his murder, can now be named. Earlier this week, a suppression order prevented him from being named in Queensland. But that didn't stop people from bandying Brett Cowan's name around on social media sites, highlighting the inability of court orders to be enforced across social media circles, as Madeline Jenner reports.
For the last 8 years, there's been immense public interest in the case of Daniel Morcombe, and in recent years, much of that interest has moved online. Until late yesterday, there was a suppression order in place which prevented media outlets in Queensland from naming the man charged with the murder. But on Twitter and Facebook, Brett Cowan's name wasn't hard to find. Peter Black is a senior lecturer in internet law at Queensland's University of Technology.
It is very difficult for suppression orders to be enforced with respect to social media, but suppression orders and non-publication orders will apply to social media because they are orders prohibiting or stopping publication. And when you're putting information on the internet, even if you're using a platform like Twitter or Facebook, you are still publishing that material.
But of course it is difficult to enforce when it's online. Has anyone ever been charged with breaching a suppression order on the web?
To my knowledge, it hasn't happened that someone has been held in contempt for breaking a suppression or non-publication order because of a publication to Twitter or Facebook. But certainly there would be nothing stopping such a finding being made.
The problem with the internet is that things can happen very quickly. At last count, more than 230,000 people had joined a Facebook group set up to remember Daniel Morcombe. Yesterday, that group was growing by about 5,000 people an hour. There are various other pages calling for justice for the teenager and thousands of comments on Twitter. The vast majority of sites and comments didn't mention Brett Cowan by name. But Peter Black says it's nearly impossible to uphold a suppression order online.
Short of putting in place some sort of prior restraint whereby every single post to Twitter or Facebook has to be monitored and edited first, I really don't think there is much that law enforcement agencies can do. And that sort of proposal to have some sort of prior restraint on publication on social media platforms would be simply unworkable, even apart from, you know, the free speech concerns that that would have.
Until yesterday, the issue was further complicated by the fact that some mainstream media outlets did name Brett Cowan, provided they were broadcasting outside of Queensland. It's entirely possible that some of the people who named him online didn't know they were breaking the law. Greg Barnes is a barrister and national president of the Australian Lawyers Alliance. He says that suppression orders are still important, despite the difficulties they face in the age of Twitter and Facebook.
I think that we still live in an era where the electronic and print media is the essential means of communicating what happens in the criminal justice system. Certainly in Australia that's the case, and therefore suppression orders have very great currency. Suppression orders, particularly in sex cases, we have seen some appalling reporting, particularly in the tabloid media of this country and tabloid television, of sex cases. So we are still seeing the use of traditional forms of media, and therefore suppression orders, whilst that exists, still have currency.
Late last year, the South Australian Attorney General, John Rowe, took the issue to a national meeting of Attorneys General, but there were no immediate solutions. A spokesperson for the Attorney General says the South Australian government is still exploring how to ensure that social media sites comply with suppression orders. Professor Michael Fraser is director of the Communications Law Centre at UTS.
What you can do is approach, say, Facebook or the other social media sites and ask them to take down the material which is the subject of the suppression order. Now that does raise some questions because not all these social media like Facebook have a presence in Australia. They're not in this jurisdiction. But I think that is the way that we have to approach it, and we have to hold them to account because they have the ability to take down the offending material.
Both Facebook and Twitter say they work with law enforcement when required. But the use of social media also has implications as the case progresses through the courts. Some legal experts say that the amount of interest and the amount of information online could make it incredibly difficult to recruit an impartial jury. Peter Black again.
One of the great safeguards that we have in our system, you know, is the jury system. And the jury in this case will be instructed by the judge to disregard anything that they may have seen on social media or they may have heard in the news media, and just to judge the guilt or innocence of the accused based upon the evidence that will be presented at trial.
And do we have any sense as to whether that works, whether juries take on the advice of the judge?
I mean, there's no sort of, you know, scientific or conclusive empirical evidence on that, but there certainly is, you know, overwhelming anecdotal evidence that members of the jury do take their responsibilities very seriously. I mean, I think that, you know, a jury properly instructed to disregard everything else that they may have read will do so. The difficulty is that it can become, I think, very hard for even the best-intentioned jurors to forget some of the things that they may have seen on the web or in the news media. And that there's no doubt that that is a challenge for our criminal justice system, and we don't have an easy answer as to how we can address that.
Peter Black from the Queensland University of Technology, ending that report by Madeline Jenner.